Welcome to Fourth Stream Radio, where we consider concepts to help you on your quest to a satisfied mind. And today, Dave and I are talking about what it looks like to build kingdom relationships in your part of the world.
Yeah, I call these next two couple of get-togethers snapshot, because we've known a lot of people over the years, and there are people who get it figured out as far as the kingdom, and the people that we're going to be talking about today, Sarah and Alex, well, they're a composite of different people that we have known talking about having a kingdom home. So Sarah and Alex are learning to have a kingdom home. They have started to build their life together with a common foundation of submission to their King, Jesus Christ. Their faith is very organic in that they try to understand what Jesus wants and then let his desires begin to take over the foundation of their hearts. They have chosen the challenging path of oneness in marriage, growing in character, and pleasing God. And they've decided to roll up their sleeves and engage in the arduous work of building a kingdom life.
Yeah, I like the phrase, let his desires begin to take over the foundation of their hearts. Really, so I want to begin by saying that we need to let ourselves be okay with not being great at any of the things we talk about, because it's a kind of a step-by-step process of bringing the King into everything we do. And it's one thing to bring it into our own lives among, you know, within our family, but then adding other people to that. It's just it's a step-by-step, something you have to learn.
Well, I think the whole idea, too, of, we're in a culture that's wrapped up with coming out on top, being first, being the best. And, you know, you are the best when you're at your best. And that doesn't mean that that has to be compared with anybody else but you. We just want to be functioning as fully as we can to be our best.
That's really true, because everything we're going to talk about today, it might work for someone that, you know, we've have met and it works for them. But I have to say, sometimes we've tried stuff and gone, it does not work for us. That is not how we are. But there's another thing in here that you said. You said the arduous work of building a kingdom life. And both are pictures of perseverance. And I like the definition of perseverance. It means staying under the pressure.
Yes.
And when you stay under the pressure, you build character.
Yeah, because you're pushing against something. It's like building muscle.
Mm-hmm. And ultimately, perseverance builds character, and people with depth of good character are trustworthy, and they're interesting, and they're fun. And I say fun because they have a good grasp on what to take seriously and what to take lightly. And rather than mocking everything, they can have an honest view of the world and enjoy the enjoyable parts.
Yes, enjoyment. That is exactly the word that I was thinking of as you were saying it. And, you know, also reflected in what Sarah and Alex are experiencing is that whole idea of submission to their King, Jesus Christ. And, you know, when you have that third person in your relationship that's guiding you and that you're both submitting to, which reminds me of 1 Peter 5, you younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders, and all of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God, and get this, God is opposed to the proud. He doesn't just not like the proud. He is opposed to the proud, but he gives grace to the humble.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you.
I think the oneness in marriage, it's really critical and it's wonderful, but sometimes it's really painful and hard to do. And again, it's a step-by-step process. And it just seems like you have to be willing to work on it and be wrong. For some, it's being less critical. For others, it's learning how to speak up, you know, when you don't want to. But it's just, it's doing everything before the King.
Well, and that relates specifically, too, to the growing in character, because character doesn't just happen any more than a marriage of oneness just happens. It's forged, and like you were talking about earlier, because you're working against the load. You're pushing against the wind, and that makes you stronger.
Well, I mean, you were talking about young men there, but young women, in our culture, the concept of submission on the part of wives is so often either mistaught, and it's also misunderstood. And there's a real art and beauty in getting this figured out as a couple between each other and God. You know, this segment isn't really about who cooks or who does laundry or who pays bills.
Well, those are all things I do.
But when you all come to decisions and you get that worked out, you know, people are drawn to how much at peace your household is at.
And that's what Sarah and Alex are experiencing in their kingdom life as they are building, they're growing in character, their oneness in marriage, and they're pleasing God. Now, some of their free time is invested understanding the scriptures, also praying for their friends, family, and neighbors, and enjoying activities, again, the word enjoying, activities that put them into close proximity with people who know the King. You know, it's really important to be with people who share your same values, particularly if you want to build a kingdom life. Being around people who are submitted to the King is incredibly important to pull that off.
Well, it's just so helpful. There's so much encouragement when you're doing that together.
And what's neat in these guys' life, Sarah and Alex, they also spend time neighbors that don't do that. So people who do put the King first, but also people who don't, because you've got the energy that comes from the people that do, and then you've got the opportunity that comes with the people that don't. Like us, they work on their home, pursue their interests, keep in touch with their families, argue, burn meals, and on occasion get sick of work and life. At the end of each week, they sit down and they talk about what worked and what didn't, and they make plans for another week.
I love the message, and I just want to explain why I read the message. I don't read it necessarily at home to study. I know that you use the New American Standard Version. I use the NIV, but just on this segment, I like to use the message because it gives such good
Word pictures.
And in 2 Timothy, it says, run after mature righteousness, faith, love, and peace, joining those who are in honest and serious prayer before God. God's servant must not be argumentative, but a gentle listener and a teacher who keeps cool, working firmly but patiently with those who refuse to obey. You never know how or when God might sober them up with a change of heart and a turning to the truth, enabling them to escape the devil's trap where they are caught and held captive, forced to run his errands. And so just remembering that when you're including, you know, unbelievers, like you were talking about, it's not just the people that you're always comfortable with, but learning how to stretch out little by little and including people that aren't always comfortable.
Well, and the one dimension that we just talked about that is a part of Alex and Sarah's life is that they, at the end of the week, they talk about what worked and what didn't. And that's reflection. And, you know, it isn't just that the Jews had a Sabbath and kept a Sabbath, or that we keep the Lord's Day, you know, on the first day of the week. The reality is that God worked for 6 days, and on the seventh day, he rested. So this mm-hmm. far transcends any kind of religion or religious observance. It relates to what is good for the heart. And if it was good for the heart of God, why wouldn't it be good for our hearts?
Yeah, and you really get the impression that they took the day to rest, but they also, I assume, sort of looked back over their week, saw where God was working and felt grateful, and it caused worship, but it also may have caused a course correction. You know, they may have looked at it and said, we watched too much TV, we played tennis too often, we didn't do this enough, we spent too much. I mean, I realize I'm fast-forwarding to our culture, but there is a certain degree of course correction along with, you just get to see what God was doing in your life the past week.
And that is so reflected in this passage in Ephesians 5. Therefore, take care how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil. And I the best image I've come up with is life and time are like a river. Mm-hmm. You know, they're just flowing, and they're flowing by, and I can either take my bucket and go over and pull buckets out and water some things that really matter as it goes by, or I can just watch it go by. And that's the beautiful thing about redeeming time or buying back time. You can't get it all, but mm-hmm. you can get enough to really make a difference in your part of the world.
Yeah, and it's just deciding, wanting to do things for the King and enjoying doing more things for the King.
Now back to Sarah and Alex, while we still have time.
Back to our story.
While Christianity and church is a touchstone in their lives, pleasing their king has captured their imaginations. They believe that every dollar they earn, every hour they live, and every circumstance they encounter is an opportunity for God's glory to unfold in their lives. And as they pursue vocational goals, set their standard of living, determine the extent of what they will choose to give to God's kingdom, Alex and Sarah see their faith as a compass, sifting decisions to have children, change jobs, open their home to others, all through the grid of what will honor their king.
Right. And in honoring the king, it's not just choosing your vocation. It's choosing, how much time and energy do I give to this vocation? Is it going to take so much time and energy that I have nothing left over for family? Or, you know, if you're single, just for your life, is that all you're going to do, is give your life completely to work? Or how about your standard of living? What do you decide is enough? Again, how much energy do you give that? If you have an opportunity to be promoted, but it includes a move, what will be your decision for whether that's actually a good thing or not? Is it just because you want more money?
Right. Or more stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think that's, you know, we keep weaving in the idea of a satisfied mind. That's what I mean when I talk about a satisfied mind. You're weighing out your life. You're making use of the world, but you're not making full use of it,
mm-hmm.
only in the sense that you're trying to maximize your time and your talents and your treasures to really impact the kingdom of heaven, because the kingdom of heaven is eternal. You know, our lives are going to end.
They are going to end, and we don't, in maximizing it, we don't want to be duds. We don't want to be legalistic. We want to still have the element of enjoyment, so that as we're around people who don't believe, they are drawn by the fun that God gives us.
Well, speaking of the message, I kind of chose to this part of Sarah and Alex's story, because we're going to continue this a little bit tomorrow, mm-hmm. and talk about it. Out of 2 Corinthians 10, this is out of the message, and I think you'll get a kick out of it. The world is unprincipled. It's dog-eat-dog out there. The world doesn't fight fair, but we don't live or fight our battles that way. Never mind, never have, and never will. The tools of our trade aren't for marketing or manipulation, but they are for demolishing that entire massively corrupt culture. I mean, how talk mm-hmm. about picturesque mm-hmm. words. We use our powerful God tools for smashing warped philosophies, tearing down barriers erected against the truth of God, fighting every loose thought and emotion and impulse into the structure of life shaped by Christ. Our tools are ready at hand for clearing the ground of every obstruction and building lives of obedience into maturity. Now, what a picture Paul is painting as far as how we live in the middle of the world that we live in and maximize our lives for the kingdom.
And I love the hope in this verse. I think it's really powerful in the assumption that the God tools work, not because of us, but because they're God-powered.
When we started talking about Sarah and Alex at the beginning of our conversation, I had a phrase in there. Their faith is very organic in the sense that they try to understand what Jesus wants, and then let his desires begin to take over the foundations of their hearts. And when you hear us use the word organic, we mean at a root and at a seed mm-hmm. level. You know, there are a lot of things that we try to place on ourselves from the outside, and those aren't all bad, but they're all not right. necessarily good. But it's what we do to see things spring up from the inside of our hearts that is what kingdom living is all about.
If you have a story or a comment, if you listen to this today and go, I have something figured out about that, would you let us know? Email us at 4@fourthstream.com, the number 4@fourthstream. And if we're talking about something, you go, I just don't quite get what you mean, ask us. We'll try to be clearer.
You younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders, and all of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, for God is opposed to the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may lift you up at the proper time, casting all of your cares, all of your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Fourthstream.com is a collection of resources to help you and those you know experience the freedom of a kingdom life. If you'd like to listen to today's program in its entirety, go to fourthstream.com and click on the radio button.
Together, we are finding hope at fourthstream.com.